For tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, February the 21st, 1998. Women's seminar being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park. Linda Sutter Olson from Wisconsin is the speaker of the afternoon.
Let's just all settle down and, except for the people getting deliverance, that's okay. You know, I'll tell you what, I was in a church one time years ago before I believed in this stuff. I was at Brother George Leroy's up in Canada some years ago, and I was sitting there, and pretty soon somebody would get up and walk out to the bathroom, and I'd hear them throwing up their socks out there. And they'd come back in and sit down, and after a while somebody else would go out. And I looked at the girl traveling with me, and I thought we were in a loony bin, you know. And I found out later that these people were just going out and getting deliverance and not disrupting the flow of the service. So I didn't know what to think. So if you're getting deliverance, that's fine. The rest of us know what it's all about. Just keep your focus on some of the things that I'm sharing here this afternoon. I am going to talk about the spirit that hates marriage. How many of you know that there is things that have happened to you to try to kill your marriage? Amen. Or have killed your marriage. Or have kept you from getting married. In my case, it was kept me from getting married. And some people have asked me how I came to know about this spirit. And it came about because of something that happened in my own life. And I'm going to share it with you this afternoon. You know, I like ladies' conferences, you know, we can just get down and just be real open with one another and tell it like it is. And that's the way we should be anyway. But, you know, we have that kind of freedom with each other here today. And Glenn can hear it because Glenn was there when they started ministering deliverance for me. He was on the floor with me. He and Irma, you know, and a couple of others, they were there binding and calling out and everything. But about 10 years ago, 1987 or 88, I believe it was 1988. Now, on the front side, I want to say, you know, I haven't come into this ministry with real wholeheartedly. You know, I had to be convinced. First time I was in Irma's meetings, I walked out. Ran out. Excuse me. She said, "Are you leaving?" I said, "You better believe it." And you see, the interesting thing about that, I was an ordained minister. You know, I was going to keep a certain amount of professionalism and decorum about me. But I ran out and said I was never coming back here again. And after that, I think I was back for every single camp meeting for about 10 years. And finally got with the best of them, you know, and calling the spirits out and calling them out of myself. But I had to be convinced, you know. And I had been in meetings where there had been deliverance years before. You know, this wasn't anything really new to me. But I had rejected it, and I'd rejected it again, and I'd rejected it again. And God brought me for the fourth time to whether I was going to embrace deliverance or not. And somehow I knew in my heart that if I didn't embrace deliverance this time, you know, God is very merciful. This covers a span of more than 20 years. And I knew that if I didn't embrace it this time, that I was going to be the one that was going to be the loser. Do you hear me? And, you know, we can leave and we can say this is all a psychological conditioning and things like that. And I did all of that. And the one time I left here and I said, Lord, I don't want to kick against the pricks. You know, I like Paul, I don't want to kick against the pricks. If this thing is real and is for today and is for me, you've got to confirm it to me. And I left here and I went up to a place up north of here in Missouri and stopped at some people's homes and started, different things happened and, spirits manifested in the house and among Christians, and I had to cast them out, you know. And, I left there a believer and convinced, yes, this is for me. Amen. I believe God wants me to be part of this. And so I had come back here from a missionary trip. Now remember, I'm in the ministry, you know, and there's that certain, a recognized denomination and had a certain amount of pride about the whole thing. And so I wasn't going to lay on my back and, you know, do the things that other people did. If I wanted deliverance, I was going to get it dignified. Well, one night, I'd gotten upset about something, and I've discovered that, you know, when you get upset, that's a good time to pray deliverance, because something in you generally is what's upsetting you. Amen? Something within you. So I was upset. And some of you know Earlene Moody, and she's just as mild as can be and never raises her voice. And she was sitting beside me, and she said, she prayed this prayer, and she said, Lord, we just bind every demon in Linda and every controlling spirit. We command you, you controlling demon, to manifest and reveal yourself in the next few days. And she didn't say it that emphatic. She just says, you know, she just said it real low-key and monotone, and I didn't feel any anointing on that at all, you know. And, we Pentecostal people, we've got this sense of what the anointing is. And the anointing is not necessarily goosebumps or anything like that. So anyway, I just kind of forgot about it, and the next night I went up to the trailer. I was staying on the campground, and I was getting ready for bed. It was New Year's Eve. And as I was getting ready for bed and brushing my teeth, I heard this name, Asmodeus. Now, to my knowledge, I had never heard that name before. And it just kept pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding in my mind. And it was bothering me so much when I went to bed, I couldn't go to sleep. And I laid hands on my head and I says, I command you to be quiet in Jesus' name. And immediately it stopped, just like that. And the next day I tried to remember it. I couldn't remember what it was till late in the day, taking somebody to the airport, and all of a sudden I said, Asmodeus, that's it. And I, strangely enough, I knew how it was spelled. If you want to write it down, it's Asmodeus. And I went to the library, right up here in Hot Springs, I think the next day, that was New Year's Day, maybe the day after that, and I got out the Encyclopedia Britannica. And it's interesting what it said. Now, it's not in the new Encyclopedia Britannicas, but it's in the old ones. And here is what it said. A Christian demon. A Christian demon that was originally a spirit of rage that turned into a spirit of lust. Or it may have been a spirit of lust turned into a spirit of rage. I'm not sure which one it was. And it went on to say some things about it and how the Jews knew all about it. It was in their teaching. It was in their traditions. And they even told a story about it. But let me tell you what it said. It was a spirit that hated marriage. And it was a spirit that would cause a man to leave his wife and to go out and commit adultery with other women. Now, we can turn that around because, you see, when that spirit has control of a man, it's called Asmodeus. You just put an O in front. But when it's a spirit that affects women, it's A, Asmodeus. So it can be either way. And it began to list the characteristics of this ruler demon. Now, I say characteristics, but it's lesser demons is what it is. And somebody may think, well, it was alcoholism that broke up my marriage, or it was excessive living that broke up my marriage, or it was something else, when really those are lesser demons that are under this ruler demon, Asmodeus. Now, it's interesting that after I found these things out, I got all of my information from secular sources, except for this. The scripture, Asmodeus, means the same thing as Abaddon means, which I believe is destroyer. You know, at first I thought this was all my imagination. I remember I said to Irma, I says, is this my imagination or what? And she assured me, and Patty assured me, that it wasn't my imagination, and we all began to do some research on it. But, and I don't have my notes here, so I'm just sharing with you some things that I just jotted down just before the meeting today about this demon. But I began to list the characteristics of this, and I shared it here for the first time about just a few months after I'd been here, and it was just the camp family, and I thought, well, I'm going to share it with the camp family, the staff, the people that lived here, and just see how it goes, because I'd never heard it spoken about. I'd never heard any teaching on it, and I'll never forget it, Glenn, standing here, and there was probably maybe 20 of us, and you know, it just seemed to bear witness with people. And this one man said after the service that morning, I believe when we had prayer that night, he said, I feel like I need prayer. He says, I believe I've had every one of those characteristics in me except perhaps lewd French fashion. And that was Bob's. And you see, because Asmodeus is considered the inventor of French fashion. It's also, I'm going to tell you some of these other things, you might want to write them down. It's considered the controller over the casinos, over the gambling casinos. Now, have you ever wondered why you go to Las Vegas, you go to Reno, you go to Tahoe, some of these places where you can so quickly get a divorce or married, and there's the casinos right there. The two are right hand in hand. Those towns are under the control of the demon Asmodeus. One of the other lesser demons associated with Asmodeus is drama. Have you noticed what the trend is and has been from day one in Hollywood? You know, everybody getting divorced and remarried and divorced and remarried. And that's been a standard that has kind of been established for the United States. It's a spirit that is over Hollywood. I'll say that very emphatically. See, the scripture says in John 10:10, regarding the destroyer, and I like to use this one, the thief comes but to kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? And Jesus said he's come that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. So you see, we don't have to give in to the lies of the enemy because in Jesus we have everything we need to live an overcoming life. I want you to say it with me. Let's see. Greater is he that is within me than he that is in the world. Say it again. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Amen. Now see, that's Bible. That's truth. That is something that we can stand on. That's what God wants us to keep focused on. In fact, I like to get things in perspective because, you know, the devil and demons can put such great fear on a person and make that thing loom larger than life, and that's all you see. And you get overwhelmed, and you think, man, I'm never going to make it because of this spirit that is in my life. Well, you see, there's more can-do power flowing in your little fingers than in all of the lies of the enemy. I mean, greater is he that is in my little finger than he that is in the world. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
I mean, let's get the right perspective on this. If the same spirit that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead dwell in me, he will quicken my mortal body through his spirit that dwells in me. I mean, that's the word. So I don't have to keep my emphasis and all my concentration on the enemy, but on the finished work of Jesus on the cross. That's why we have deliverance here, because of the finished work of Jesus on the cross. Hallelujah. You can let those spirits fly. I mean, they have absolutely no control in your life when you're plugged in to Jesus and have broken the curses in your life. Amen. It's really hard for some of us. And so, you know, like I said, God was gracious to me. 20 years I kept resisting this. 20 years. And it was just spirits in me that didn't want it. You know, wanted to keep me bound. One of the other things that is a characteristic lesser demon under this ruler demon Asmodeus. First of all, I want to say is, let's put rage right under there. Number one identifying mark is rage. How many marriages have been broke up because of rage? Anger. Wives getting beat up by their husbands. Husbands getting beat up by their wives. I mean, unbelievable rage. Lust associated with adultery and fornication. Now here's another one. And this is the one that is really interesting to me. Jealousy. You see, that demon Asmodeus wants you for himself and doesn't want anybody else to have you. And the reason Asmodeus, and the reason the devil hates marriage so much, and hear this, is because every time a wedding takes place, every time, it is a type and is speaking about the marriage between Jesus and his bride. Every time it happens. And you know, it's been interesting to me that not only in this country and in this culture, but you know, when a marriage takes place and you begin to plan a wedding, all kinds of things go wrong. I mean, the husband and the wife of the daughter or the son are about ready to kill each other, and get a divorce themselves before these weddings ultimately take place. Have you ever noticed that? And there'd be so much confusion. I had a young lady say to me one time, she says, you know, I don't think the devil wanted me to get married. And, she wasn't young. She was in her 40s when she got married for the first time. And I just kind of smiled and thought, oh, you know, it's just, you know, jitters before a marriage. And then she began telling me all the things that had happened just the day before. You know, the devil would rather have people live together than get married and make a mockery of what God intended in the very beginning of the world when he put Adam and Eve together. You see, and I want to say something. Marriage is God's idea. It wasn't man's idea. It wasn't an afterthought. It wasn't something that was provided as an afterthought to keep you from falling into sin, to keep you from getting into immorality. It was God's idea from the onset. And because it was, the enemy has done everything possible from the very beginning to try to pervert it and to try to prevent it. You know, I want to tell you that when I began ministering this, I started ministering this in about 88. And I ministered this. I went to Women's Aglow. I went to denominational churches. And I didn't even ask the pastors ahead of time if I could minister on it. I just went and ministered it, you know, and let them pick up the pieces if there was any problems, you know. And I had people come up to me afterwards and say, for the first time, things make sense in my life. For the first time, I understand what it is that I'm dealing with. And I'll tell you, that is really a first step to deliverance. When you begin to recognize what it is that the enemy is doing, you can begin to pray intelligently and begin to take authority over those spirits. And I learned long ago that it helps when you know what that demon's name is before you go to cast it out. When you know what the name of that spirit is, I'll tell you, they are a dead duck. They are out of there. You don't have to labor for hours and getting the discernment to know what the name is. They will leave. You know, if all of the groundwork has been done, we've done a lot of groundwork here this afternoon. That's why I'm excited about this. This demon, Asmodeus, is credited with being the demon that made Noah drunk after the flood. Interesting, isn't it? It was a demon that the Jews recognize it as Asmodeus. It is also the demon that is associated with excessive living. It's a demon that attached itself to Solomon, according to Jewish tradition. And all of his excesses. You see, God promised him blessing. But, you know, it, just like with anything, the enemy can come on and just turn the dial a little bit, make it just a little bit off and pervert that thing. And so he was associated with that, with the excessive living that Solomon engaged in, and with, I see it today as one of the number one problems in marriage, that people will live beyond their means. You get a taste for something more than what you can afford. It's Asmodeus that is at work. And, you know, there's another interesting thing about this demon. It was psychic. It was psychic. It could, listen to this now, move in the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I say that tongue-in-cheek. I don't mean move in the gifts of the Spirit, but give a semblance of that. And I think there's a lot of things that we have seen in the Christian world, in the charismatic world, in what's been going on that has not really been the Spirit of God, but has been a lot of soulishness and has been a lot of demonic power. And because we haven't had teaching in this area, people haven't had teaching in this area, they just gobble it up as, well, this must be God, when it's another spirit in operation. That demon was psychic. And it's interesting. Now, there's two extremes to this demon. Here he is, a raging, lustful devil. And here he is, just look like a psychic demon and the butt of jokes. The butt of jokes. And I have learned in my research that people that have been under the influence, that have been bound, that have this demon operating in their life, they'll lose out in business deals, for example. Relationships, partnerships, it doesn't even have to be a marriage. Partnerships will go sour. You know what I'm talking about? And I've noticed in partnerships that go sour, there's usually somebody that gets the short end of the stick. There's somebody that has gotten a raw deal. And with Asmodeus being the butt of jokes, he's made to look like a fool. Now, there's one person, and I'll mention them by name just because she has died, and I believe she had a marvelous ministry. I believe it was a spirit that was over her head, but there was a lady preacher in the 20s and 30s who was married three or four times, I think. Amy Semple McPherson. Some of you know her. Some of you probably have family that were saved under her ministry. Wonderful ministry. But there was this thing that influenced her life. And we don't, you know, there's people that even speculated that when she died, she was murdered. But that she didn't die a natural death. But, you know, one of her husbands, now she went to the mission field when she was just a teenager and her husband died. And she came home, she was still a teenager, they'd been in China, and she got married again, and then God called her to the ministry, and that husband couldn't take it, and he divorced her. And then she got married again, and I think it was divorced, and then maybe married again. And I don't know if she was divorced that time or not. But one of the husbands that she had, and all kinds of things were said about her. There was all kinds of scandal that accompanied her and her ministry. And once she was kidnapped, and people said, well, she ran off with some guy. And, you know, we don't know. But this one husband that she had took love letters that she wrote to him for his eyes only. And in the height of all this scandal and everything that was going on, he turned them over to the Los Angeles Times. And they printed them on the front page. Can you imagine anything like that? Printed them on the front page. And I read a book and I saw those letters, you know, printed right on the front page of the Los Angeles Times. It made good copy. They sold a lot of newspapers. But here was somebody that I believe was had that demon in their life to pervert the ministry. It's interesting that the Catholic Church, way back in the Middle Ages, recognized Asmodeus. They recognized Asmodeus as one that wanted to attack young nuns, make them lustful and ineffective in the ministry. Interesting, isn't it? And there is an account in Jewish history, and it's written in the Apocrypha, about a family, or it wasn't a family, a lady named Sarah who was married seven times. And before the marriage could be consummated, whether this is true or not, I don't know. It's just in one of the Apocryphal books. But it wasn't Sarah who was married to Abraham. It was another Sarah. But she was before the marriage could be consummated, this demon would kill her husband because he was jealous and wanted her to himself. Interesting, isn't it? And finally, I believe it was, I'm not sure if it was the seventh, I believe it was the eighth time she was going to get married. This man was a brave soul, wasn't he? And this man was able to overcome Asmodeus, and he lived. And I've wondered sometimes why people get married and their mates will die. You know, not just once, but two, three, sometimes even four times. You know, and sometimes they've asked my counsel. Well, I never knew, used to know what to say, but now I know most often what it is. That here is a woman or a man who loves the Lord, and that that demon will kill their partner prematurely. They'll have a premature death. I've ministered this in churches, and I've talked about people who have been married three, four, five times. And I remember a friend traveling with me once that thought, Linda, you know, you're speaking to Christian people here. There's nobody here that's been married four times. And a lady came up to me afterwards and she says, you know, I've been married four times. I'm about to get married for the fifth time. And she said, I don't want to happen what has happened in all of my previous marriages. You know, I was ministering up in Wisconsin in an Assembly of God church, and there was a deacon in that church who had been married four times. And they had to change the constitution and bylaws so he could be a deacon, because all of this was before he was married, you know, before he was a Christian. And he got married, had an opportunity to get married after he became a Christian, and the pastor thought it was okay. And the pastor believed in deliverance, interestingly enough, and that pastor is the one that introduced me to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. Gave me a tape to listen to. And so he thought it was okay, this man get married, and he got married, and a month after he was married, this man's wife came crying. And she wouldn't tell anybody what was wrong, but she was just crying. That doesn't sound like a new bride to me, does it? You know, she was crying, she wasn't happy, and he didn't look too happy. A few months later, a deliverance ministry came up there in the area having meetings, and so this pastor took his deacon and a couple of other guys went over to this meeting, just a small meeting, and the guy that was having the deliverance meeting called this deacon, who had been married four times, now five times, called him up and began to rebuke the demon of Asmodeus in him, and that deacon began screaming at him, I don't want anything to do with you, and fell over on the floor and started carrying on, and they just gathered around and prayed for him and cast that demon of Asmodeus out of him. He went home. The next time they came to church, his wife was smiling. Amen. Something happened. The pastor says, I don't know what happened. He says, but evidently, he said, things changed at their house. They were there for several years in the church, and really a solid couple in the church that he depended upon. Some time ago, I had some people come by. In fact, it was when I was really sick, and these people came, and they wanted to see me. I hadn't seen them in 25 years, more than that. They came, and they wanted to stay a couple days, and they had their 11-year-old son with them, and I didn't know where they were in the Lord or anything, but I just began sharing with them where I was, and I began talking to them about the demon of Asmodeus. And they just began asking all kinds of questions. And I was telling them what I knew about it. And this 11-year-old boy that they brought with him, you know how kids are. You know, he was standing on his head and playing around. And we didn't think he was paying a bit of attention to anything that was being said. And I was so sick, you know, I was sitting in bed talking to them. You know, and when they wanted me to pray for him, I had to prop myself up on an elbow to put my hand out to pray for him. I'm thinking, don't they see that I'm sick? You know, and it's time for them to pray for me instead of me pray for them. But at least they kept me pressed in and plugged in and plugged into the Lord, you know, and ministering. Because, see, we don't minister out of our own strength. We minister out of the strength of God. But when they went to their room that night, this boy got a hold of his dad. And he says, you know, Dad, he says, I think I need deliverance from that demon, Asmodeus. And his dad, you know, says, well, you know, we'll pray tomorrow. Well, they all went to bed, and the boy was sleeping in the living room on my hide-a-bed. And in the middle of the night, he saw a man walk into the room and stand by his bed. And all of a sudden, his face, what this boy saw, turned into the face of a monster. A monster like a raging bull is what it was. That he saw, and of course it scared him, and he called for his dad. His dad came in and lay down on the bed with him and slept the rest of the night, and they were telling me about this the next morning. Well, I thought, interesting. I went to my research notes. I got out a picture of an artist's rendition of the demon Asmodeus, and there it was. It was a man with the head of a raging bull. These things, you know, when you hear this kind of thing, you know, you can't deny any longer that you're dealing with something really real here. See Peter Wagner in his book on spiritual warfare, and he's a professor at Fuller Theological Seminary, talks about having been down in South America and finding out about a demon Asmodeus that was said to be one of the six controlling spirits over the world. Well, I can really relate to that. Because you see, it's not only in this country that people are getting divorced. It's happening in third world countries. It's happening in other cultures. It's happening where divorce is hardly even considered. The devil doesn't want to see people together because you see, the scripture also says if one puts 1,000 to flight, two will put 10,000 to flight. There is a power there when a husband and wife, you know, are really agreed. Amen? Really agreed. Now, there's probably all kinds of examples I could give about what I have seen this demon do in people's lives. And I want to tell you something, in Christian people's lives. In Christian people's lives. I know people who are so bound by demons of jealousy that they can't see straight. They can't release their husband or their wife to go downtown to the grocery store to get a loaf of bread because they're so fearful that, you know, they're going to see some woman or they're going to see some man and they want to keep such control over them. There's another one I want to talk about. And this is another characteristic, lesser demon. This is a demon associated with Asmodeus, and that is restlessness. Never being at peace, never content to stay in one place. Always wanderlust. You know, when I was a child, it was interesting. There was a song that came out. I was probably about 8 years old or less than that. And the song was, I love to go a-wandering along a mountain track. I love to, the happy wanderer, and swing a knapsack on my back, Valdery, Valdery. I love that song. I loved it. And as I got to be an adult, you know, members of my family, you see, my people are farmers back in Iowa, and you can't move them. I mean, they've got a farm, and they're going to stay there till the day they die. And so here comes me, and of course, my natural father, he just went from job to job, and my mother went with him. And, I come up, and I want to move around. I don't want to stay in any place. One of the reasons I was an evangelist, you know, I could go from place to place. I didn't have to get locked in somewhere. Trouble start, hey, I'm out of here. You know? I knew that after I ministered this long enough. I didn't get married until I was 50 years old. And I had a lot of heartaches, a lot of heartbreaks and things in my younger life. And I used to wonder why it was that I'd come so close and then not get married. And I knew if I ministered long enough, I'd finally get married. And because I'd be ministering this to other people. Well, you know, I married just a lovely man up in Wisconsin who I've known for many years. His wife, first wife, went to be with the Lord, and I've been friends of hers, and that's a whole other story. I won't go into that one. But I've got someone back there who just loves me. I've been away 3 weeks, and I can hardly wait to get home. You know, I miss him. But I'll tell you what, it hasn't always been easy for me. You know, and I've been married about 3 weeks. And he has a daughter that isn't all that fond of me. Now, he's got a lot of kids that are fond of me. I mean, here was me, never married, not that much family, and I get married and I have 27 great-grandchildren, 17 grandchildren, and 6 children. You know, plus spouses. When we get together for Christmas, there's not a place where there's no people, you know? And I shouldn't have talked about that. But I don't like it any better now than I used to. We get together, we have a family get together, and we get out, everybody sings, and we get out the guitars, and we all sing and have a great time. But I've been married about 3 weeks, and this one child that I have a bit of a conflict with, you know, I couldn't look at the fact that all the others just think I'm wonderful. All I could concentrate on the fact was she hates me, you know, and I don't deserve what she's doing to me, you know. So this one day I'm thinking, what I always thought, I'm out of here. I'm out. 3 weeks I've been married, and I thought, my friends will understand, you know. I'll just get an annulment, you know. Sounds better than divorce. You know, I figured I could do that. We hadn't been married a month yet. And I thought, I just don't deserve to be treated like this. But you know what I was doing all the time? I'm thinking about leaving. I'm measuring the windows for curtains. In my mind, I'm saying one thing. In my spirit, you know, I'm saying something else. And so there's always, you know, there's always going to be conflicts of some kind or another. And I think it was in the midst of all this that, for some reason, Glenn called me. And I said something about, oh, I'm not happy, and this is going on. He says, well, sounds pretty normal to me. And I figured he was going to give me some comfort, you know. And he says, well, sounds normal to me. And I got off the phone, and I thought, oh, my goodness. You know, all of those idealistic things I talked about before I was married, you know, I realized that I didn't know anything, you know. It was just, she's shaking her head. She's known me 30 years, you know. And, but till you're there, you just don't really understand. But I could see, after I was married, how this, even, you know, I've had some deliverance. I had a lot of deliverance. But, you know, these things leave, I want to tell you, these things leave in layers. Do you hear that? These things leave in layers. It doesn't happen all at once. I'm not sure you can handle it if every bit of it would leave all at once. You know? And so these things leave in layers. And this one night, I'm getting ahead of my story here. I want to go back. The time after I recognized what it was that had directed my life, the thing that had been a controlling demon in my life. The time came, some months, I'd lived with it this long. I could live with it a little while longer. I got all the research. And you know, if anybody had told me that all these things were in my life, I would have argued with them. I would have been fighting mad. But all I had to do was look at the paper, and I looked at all these things, and I thought, this is me and my family. You know? It's me and my family. And I want to tell you ladies something. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to go into all the details of things, but you look at yourself, and sometimes, and this happened with me, you're a child, it seems like you're set up for things. Times when you don't have any control over things, you're set up, and you wonder, what did I do? You know, you didn't do anything. 3, 4, 5, 6 years old, I was a victim of sexual abuse, not from someone in my family, but I tell you, that marks you, and you need deliverance if that happens to you. You know, I tell people, only Jesus can heal you of that. He will heal you. But you find out, my goodness, I know now that it's generational curses, but you're set up. And finally, when you're a little older, you know, you begin to make choices for yourself, and you can't blame it. You can't blame it on the enemy or that you've been set up, because you're making choices yourself. But before you're capable of really fully making choices and you see things happen and wheels have been set in motion a certain way, you know that the enemy is out to get you. And I'll have to say that was really true in my life. Well, the time came when it was time to go through deliverance, and I was over at Glenn and Irma's house, and we began to pray. And I'll tell you, it got to be a full-scale war. It got to be a battle. And that demon spoke right out of my mouth, and it said that it wasn't going to leave, and it said it lived in my head, and that it had been there all my life. You see, when the doctor diagnosed that brain tumor, he said, it's probably been there all your life. And one of the things he asked me was,
Did anybody in your family have a brain tumor? Well, we don't know how. My mother was 50 years old when she died, and we don't know how she died. We don't know why she died. We didn't do an autopsy, but she had severe headaches, and her behavior was irrational and was difficult. You know, it was a difficult situation. They just labeled her, you know, paranoid schizophrenic and tried to put a label on it, didn't try to help her, didn't know what it was, and didn't have the diagnostic tools to know that perhaps it might be a brain tumor. You see, doctors know, medical science knows that if somebody in your family has a certain kind of disease, that there's a weakness, a weakness in you for the same disease. When I go to fill out an insurance form, you know, I don't do it anymore, but when I did, oh, here's a whole list. You or any member of your family have any one of how many things, right? You know, heart disease, cancer, high blood pressure, all of those things, because they know that there will be a possibility in you, for you to get that because it was in your parents or one of your parents. See, we break those generational curses. And when I look at my family and see the way my mother suffered and the kind of life my father, who had died, had, I could see all of these things that had so warred against me was warred against their lives. And I could see that I was a result of generational curses. And I loved God. I loved God. You hear that? I want to say it again. I loved Jesus. And I've been called to the ministry. And I'll tell you what, that doesn't exempt you from needing deliverance. Been in the ministry a long time before I got this deliverance in my life. I began to read. I began to go to other sources. And I found out over in Africa, they know what Asmodeus is. It's a water spirit over there that they cast out. And they say the same thing about it. I read a book by an African lady who had a deliverance ministry, and she named it, and she said, it's a spirit that keeps people from getting married or causes them to get a divorce. I heard about it again down in Central America. It is, interestingly enough, I don't know much about this. I'm not going to research it too much further in this direction, but it's one of the kings in Dungeons and Dragons. Do you hear that? And I believe that at this time when knowledge is increasing so much, you know, we need to be aware of the things that are warring against us. I ministered this in a Methodist church. Louise might remember this. I don't know if she's... And the pastor said to me afterwards, he said, this demon is over our entire church. It's over our entire church. You remember that, Louise? And we prayed for the whole church that night for deliverance from that spirit. Now, you know, if you have got, you know, one or two of these lesser spirits, when I say lesser, I don't mean lesser in the way, but I mean not a ruler demon, but, you know, there has been one thing in your life. For example, you're jealous. Okay, that does not necessarily mean that Asmodeus is a ruling demon in your life. But, you know, when you've got 10 things written down and 9 out of that 10 are in your life, you know, it's like the 7 cancer signals, you know, that, you know, if you got one, that's, you know, don't worry about it too much. But when you've got all of these things in your life, you know, the majority of these things are in your life in one way or another, you know, you can say it's a pretty good chance. I mean, why take any chances? Come on, let's begin to pray and get these things out of our life. Suddenly, you know, things make sense. There's a number of people in my family who have never gotten married. Men and women both. And you know, I was up in Iowa a couple of years ago, and there was I talked about this in a Friday night prayer meeting with some people who, you know, just dearly love God, and there was a man, I'd known him over 30 years, precious brother. Had never gotten married. I mean, all the women just thought he was great. So did I, you know. I mean, just a lovely looking man. He got so excited. 72 years old, he's still not married. And he wanted to talk to me, and he was telling me about some things that had happened just the couple of days before. And I didn't think the guy wanted to get married. You know, I really didn't. I mean, I would have paid more attention to him if I thought he did, you know, years ago. I mean, he was really, really a nice looking and just a lovely man. And he said, "This is a demon that has plagued my life." And here I find out he's 72 years old. He wants to be delivered. He still wants to get married. Well, I know he's going to make some woman happy because he's just such a lovely individual. You on this can look at their own family, and because they've seen things happen in their own family, they can't deny that there's something wrong someplace and don't know, can't figure out what it is. Except that the fact that, well, the enemy's just working against us. You know, it's more than the fact that we just have a lighter feeling about divorce now than we did 30 years ago. You didn't hear about divorce. I grew up in a small town. We had one family that had a divorce in the community, and we just thought that was terrible. Now, you know, most of the marriages there are in divorce, and we don't think a thing about it. But, there have been many marriages. But you see, the enemy wants to pervert what God ordained. That is the bottom line to it. But I'll tell you, as a people of God, we can begin to take back the ground we've given the enemy. If you've gotten married and you've been divorced and you've gotten remarried, those demons of divorce are going to hang around you, and you've got to resist those. You're going to have to resist those spirits that hang around you to try to get you to get a divorce again. You're going to have to really war against that and stand against it. But if you have repented before God, and I don't know what the circumstances are, but I'll tell you what, there is still hope for you. Amen? There is still hope for you. You can still be used by God. You still don't have to go with a cloud over your head, and the church has done this. You know, religion has done this and put a cloud over us that we can never be anything but second best because you've been divorced and you've been remarried. That is a lie. You can be everything that God intends for you to be. Hallelujah. There may be circumstances where you shouldn't get married again, but each situation has to be discerned individually. God wants us to be happy people, and He knows what we have need of. Now, I'll tell you what, happiness is not going to come from a marriage relationship. On the contrary, you know, it's not. I learned that. I found out my happiness wasn't going to come. But it's sure good to know I've got a husband at home that loves me. You know, that's good to know. But that in itself does not bring me contentedness and happiness. It doesn't. My happiness, my contentedness is in Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And your contentedness, your happiness is going to be in Jesus. Hallelujah. But I think there's probably not one person here who is exempt from divorce. I just want to mention five of these. Excuse me. Five of these characteristics, lesser demons: rage, immorality, jealousy, alcohol, and gambling. All of these, they're all equal, but these I see are the five things, the most common things that are destroying marriages. We've got legalized gambling up north. You know, it's tearing up families. Amen. Tearing up families. Rage, immorality, alcoholism, jealousy, and gambling. All of those lesser demons are under that head ruling demon, Asmodeus. And so we're going to begin to do some warfare here against these spirits. And if they are in your life, they probably are. Let's put it that way. They probably are. I think they're in. I think most people are affected by this today. You are going to leave here freer than when you came. Amen. We've already begun to break up the fallow ground here, so it's not going to be difficult. excessive living. You ready? You ladies ready? Yes. Well, here in this particular case, I'm thinking of lust as a sexual lust, because there is the, but there is the excessive living, the lust for things. But as it's in the scripture, in the things I've researched, it thinks of lust in a sexual sense. Maybe there's somebody else who has a question before we go on. Yes, can that demon be attracted to one another? That spirit in a man and that spirit in a woman, absolutely. In fact, a lot of times I've seen that demons, it's demons in a husband and a wife that are attracted to each other. Many times it can be that way. Another question. Somebody back there had their hand up. Okay, anybody have a question? Well, you know, Glenn and Irma talk about, Irma especially, talks about through the cleanness of your hands. Isn't that how you say it, Irma? Through, yeah. In the book of Job, it speaks about this. Through the cleanness of your hands and the intercession, you can deliver yourself. You can bind those devils in him. Amen. Anybody else with a question? Yes. In Job, what scripture is that, Glenn? It's Job 2:30. You know, would you come up here and read that? Or I can. Okay, I want everybody to hear this. 22. Okay. Everybody, just, you know, I'd like everybody to be quiet for a minute and not talk. I'd like to read this. Because a lot of times people ask me, can I deliver my son or my daughter or my husband? It says, he will even deliver the one for whom you intercede who is not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered through the cleanness of your hands. Hallelujah. That is Job 22:30. Go ahead.
This is Isaiah. Here. Isaiah 49. Let me give you this one too. This is an excellent one. Isaiah 49, verse 24 and 25 says, shall the prey or your child be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Like he is lawfully, legally under control of that spirit. He said, can that happen? He said, but thus saith the Lord, yes, even the captive of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contends with you, and I will save thy children.
Amen. Wonderful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's change our position for a minute. Now, I want to tell you something. When we pray deliverance, most of you know this, but you can begin to breathe. I go into churches that don't even believe in deliverance. And I minister in the area of deliverance. And I'll say, take a deep breath. Take many deep breaths. And just breathe out the old. Breathe out the old and breathe in the new. And you know, when we take those deep breaths, it dislodges those spirits. I've seen people get dizzy. And I've seen them begin to manifest. And they'll say, something happened to me. They'll come up, something happened to me. You know, it can be a violent thing, but it can be a real peaceful thing too. And so you can begin to take some deep breaths when we call these spirits out. And just let them go. Why keep them in your life? And you know, if you're ashamed of them, you know, let them go. Let them go. I mean, you know, shame, the enemy will hold those spirits in you because of shame. You know, really, you don't want to, you know, you want to keep it hidden. And, I mean, they'll just stay lodged down there because you're ashamed. You're ashamed of your sin. Well, Jesus came to forgive your sins. We're all sinners. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And nobody's going to remember what your sins were when they leave here anyway. They've got enough of their own to worry about, okay? All right. So let's just all repent. Just all repent. We're concentrating on this one area. This one area. I'll tell you what, I've got faith for this, ladies.
Amen.
You know, let me just say this. I was thinking earlier, you know, about the medical field. You got doctors and you've got doctors, you know. You got the general practitioner and then you got somebody that just concentrates on muscles or just concentrates on ears or something like that, and they know a lot about ears. And I thought, you know, I think I've got a deliverance ministry for Asmodeus. I've really got faith for this. Amen. God is setting, and I'll tell you what, He's still setting me free. He's still setting me free. I feel some of those things begin to crop up from time to time, and I believe He's still setting me free. You know, we don't submit to that. You hear that? You don't submit to it. Just you start feeling full of rage, you don't submit to that. You've got authority in your little finger to overcome that spirit of rage. Hallelujah. So let's just begin to, all of you now, just begin to repent. I've got such faith that you're going to be delivered today. Hallelujah. Or it's going to begin. It's going to begin in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank You that Your blood prevails today. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that Your blood is greater than any sin that is in any life here today. There's not one sin that cannot be forgiven because of You. And so as we come to You today, Lord, we repent. And all of you just agree with me. We repent of the sins of immorality. We repent of fornication. Fornication is sex before you're married. We repent of adultery. That's sex with someone other than your mate after you're married. We repent of all of these sins. We repent of the things that have been an offense to You. We repent of our rage. We repent of anger in Jesus' name. Repent of your anger. Uncontrolled anger. We repent of lust, Lord. We repent of jealousy. We repent of our alcoholism. We repent of restlessness, never being satisfied. Always reaching out for something else. We repent of gambling and we repent of all of this excessive living, the things that we have allowed to come into our life. And we repent of the things that we've brought into our spirit and into our mind through television. In Jesus' name. You've let some of these things come into your life through watching the tube, ladies. I tell you, you have. We repent and we ask You, Lord, to cover our minds with the blood. Wash us, Lord. Wash our minds. Wash our minds. Just sweep over our soul today, Lord. We will be clean through the word which You've spoken to us, Lord. Hallelujah. And now I take authority over every demon of Asmodeus, you controlling devil. In the name of Jesus, I bind you in these ladies. We go back in the generations and say your family name or your maiden name and your married name, and you go back and you break the curse that has been on your bloodline, like in my case, the Olson bloodline, the Sutter bloodline. You go back and you speak that out and break those curses of Asmodeus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Asmodeus, you are done. You are done. You are done. You are done. I take authority now over every demon of rage, of lust, of jealousy, alcoholism, restlessness, immorality, gambling, being the butt of jokes, all of these things that have interfered in the lives of all of these ladies. I bind you in Jesus' name. I command you to come out of my sisters that love Jesus. I command you to leave in Jesus' name. Rage, come out in Jesus' name. Rage, come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, take some deep breaths and begin to pull it up out of there. Christ in you and you together, working together. Bring these things up out of your deep, deep, deep places in your heart. Bitterness in the name of Jesus. Hatred of men. I take authority over this demon of hatred of men. I bind that in these ladies and I call it out in Jesus' name because of what men have done to you. I command it to leave in Jesus' name. Hatred of men in the name of Jesus. Lust. I command you, spirit of lust, immorality, to come out of my sisters in Jesus' name.
Come out in Jesus' name. Come out in Jesus' name. Leave in the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. I command you spirits to come out. Come on, ladies. Let's go to work. In the name of Jesus. 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 Asmodeus, you're a liar. You are a liar. In Jesus' name, you are a liar. You are a liar. Come out of these ladies. Amen. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Hallelujah. Come on, let's war against these things. In the name of Jesus, leave. Leave. Jealousy. Come on, that's a big one. That's a big one. Jealousy. We bind that demon of jealousy in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we call it out in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Koba salababa handorabara. You spirit of jealousy, come out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Come out in Jesus' name. Leave right now. Asmodeus, your day is done in the lives of my sisters here. Your day is done. Your hour is finished. Jesus is the victor. Come out in the name of Jesus. Spirits of Asmodeus, leave my sisters in the name of Jesus. Come out in Jesus' name. Come out. Oh, come out. In the name of Jesus. Leave in the name of Jesus. Yeah, come on. Leave. Just take in the new breath, oil of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out. In the name of Jesus. Come out. Come out in Jesus' name. Leave. Leave, you spirits of Asmodeus. Come on. Leave. Leave. In the name of Jesus. Leave. Leave. In the name of Jesus. Leave. The name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything that has come against marriages with my sisters, I just together agree. Right now in the name of Jesus, we bind every demon that has warred against our families in Jesus' name, that has destroyed the marriages in the name of Jesus. And we go back in the generations, the generational bondages, the generational curses. We go back 10 generations and we break the curses that have been in their lives, in their families, in Jesus' name, and we break it. Come on, ladies, all of you, just agree. Go back in your bloodlines in Jesus' name, and I break the power of Asmodeus in their families. In Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for deliverance. We thank you, it's our bread today. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Kama sura marandolo bokushala baranda. In the name of Jesus, just receive. Receive from Jesus. Come on, receive from Jesus. Amen. You receive from Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't be mad, be glad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, leave. 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 You've been getting deliverance. Amen. It's going to take a little more. Hallelujah. Take a little more. Just receive it. Oh, Ramakahan Selebor Baharamakondo Lamasharanda. Amen. In the name of Jesus. Yes. 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 Amen. You want someone to help you, Sherry? Hallelujah. You need help? Okay, you're fine. Okay, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overeating, self-indulgence. We take authority over those spirits right now. In Jesus' name. Overeating, self-indulgence. Excessiveness. Excessive living. Excessive eating. Oh. Desire for things that are not of God. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Koba sehebo mondoro bakaya se le borondolo bakushala baranda. In the name of Jesus.
in the name of Jesus. Just reach out to Jesus, your deliverer, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ladies, come on. In the name of Jesus. Asmodeus, in the name of Jesus. We command you to come out of these ladies. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, la ma satan daran dan 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 dan. Hatred of men. Kisai abako roba la manda raba candele vasalabara. Oba selebaranda la karanda la voho selebakun rama randa la vasalabara. Hallelujah. Any counterfeit spirit, every counterfeit spirit, we bind that. We cast it out in Jesus' name. Counterfeit spirit, Jesus' name. That which masquerades as the Spirit of God, in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, se maharanda la bokorianda la bashale baranda le bobo sele baranda la bokoria le bobo randa la bobo sele makaranda la bohundre de bolomo kun sele baranda la bokoshala baranda le bolobo kondre bakaranda la bokosele baranda de mo kosara baranda la boshala baranda. Ladies, just let's all keep interceding in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We bind demons of sexual perversion in Jesus' name. Homosexual spirits. Bestiality in the name of Jesus. All unclean spirits that have plagued my sister's lives in Jesus' name. We bind those and we cast them out in Jesus' name. Every bit of immorality, every bit of licentiousness, every bit of uncleanness, I bind those demons. We cast them out. We speak them out of here. We cast them out and away in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ishama la karanda la boko rearanda la bakaranda. Ilama koraba karanda la boho shalabaranda. In the name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. Kaba selebarondolo bakori aranda. Lebobo ramandala bakori aranda la bakoshe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Debo sabadara bakora barandala bakaria. Shelebo kosara barandala bakaya. Sebele bala barandala bakaranda. Lebo la makala barandala bakara. Lebo bashatele bakaranda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Surely the Lord's showing me something. I'm seeing a vision, and I'm seeing you going into a dark land where people are bound by all kinds of sexual demons. And I'm seeing you going in with clean hands, and I'm seeing you in bringing righteousness into a place that hardly knows anything about normality. In the name of Jesus, it seems like it's an island. Maybe the Philippines or something like that. And so right now I just agree with her in Jesus' name. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that you've given her a song of praise and a word of deliverance to the nations in Jesus' name, and that she will bring righteousness to a people who don't know the first thing about righteousness, who are biting and devouring one another and have no moral code in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Hatarabako sharabaranda. Lebo labakaranda labako sarabaranda. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. We just agree for Chris right now. Lord, does he go after somebody else? Does he want another lady?
Oh, I'm sure.
Okay. Well, we take authority over the spirit of divorce. In the name of Jesus. And we just pray, Heavenly Father, for him. Apprehend him. Send your hounds of heaven to that man. In Jesus' name. And I pray you just return him to his family. We ask you for a miracle, Lord. A miracle.
Nothing can be done in the natural, so we ask for your grace from the miracle in Jesus' name. This is child, you, okay, in Jesus' name. Bring him back. Bring him back to face his, you know, he's got an irresponsible way about him.
Yeah,
he's very irresponsible. The Lord showed me that. And so we just pray you'll grow him up, Lord. Grow him up in Jesus' name, that he'll begin to take a responsibility. In Jesus' name, we ask you for a miracle. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. In the blood of the Lamb, there is power.
My children. I can say it for my husband.
You've got that word there in Job 22.
So it's
all the same. You've got a place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're the victorious one. You're the victorious one. We've got the victory in you. Hallelujah. We've got the victory in you. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. Who is the victorious one here today? Amen. Amen. Who's the victorious one?
Jesus.
All right. Glory. And I am complete in him. Hallelujah. Now we're going to break for a little while. And there was a phone call that came. Benna is the young lady who's been playing the organ. And her brother-in-law, I think it is, they called and wanted prayer. He fell and broke his leg. Had to take him to the hospital. And so, what's his first name, Irma?
We don't know.
Okay.
Jimmy.
Jimmy? Okay, let's just pray for Jimmy right now. And we're going to pray for the food. And I don't know that it's ready yet, but we'll just, you can mill around and look at the books and everything. We're going to dismiss for a little bit. But first of all, Lord, we pray for Jimmy.
Yes, Father.
And we just speak comfort to that young man. We pray, God, will you just knit those bones together. Just do a miracle of healing in his life in the name of Jesus. And we praise you, Lord, for the meeting here today and for the things that have happened and the enlightenment, the revelation that you brought. And we pray it will just continue on in Jesus' name. And we also pray for the food, for the supper tonight. And we just pray you bless it abundantly. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.